Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
97.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We just got done listening to Vice President J.D. Vance from the press room. Really, really, I don't know. I just think that man can speak straight to the point with nuance, with context involved in it, without taking anybody's false premise. When you get a question from the press and they set up a question for you that forces you to accept a bunch of incredibly untrue and biased things and then answer some slanted question. He's like, no, 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 we're not going to do that. We are watching...
50%.
Let's listen
That's
to...
all.
Sorry, we'll listen to Christy.
Since Governor Walz has been in charge of Minnesota, we have seen homicides go up by over 50%. That's also during Mayor Fry's tenure as well. Since President Trump took office, Governor Walz has released over 470 violent criminals back onto the streets here in Minneapolis. He has another 680 of them still within his jurisdiction that he could give to us today to face the consequences for their crimes. Because Governor Walz and Mayor Fry refuse to protect Minnesotans, and instead they protect these criminals, that's why we are here.
So there you have the Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem explaining why ICE is present in the way that they are, and who better to speak to about this issue than Tony Pham, former acting ICE director, senior fellow in Homeland Security and Immigration at America First Policy Institute. Tony, a pleasure to have you on the show with us. We are grateful for your expertise here for our audience. Tony, can you hear us okay?
Oh, Annie, my apologies. I'm here. Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to chatting with you and your listeners.
Well, we are grateful for the opportunity. You've been an acting ICE director before, so observing what's going on in Minneapolis, just leading up to the moment yesterday where an ICE officer acted what very much so appears to be in defense of his life to protect his own life in the shooting of the protester who was in her vehicle. Before that moment happened, what is in the minds of those ICE agents that are on the ground? They have a directive, they're there for a purpose, and now the protesters settle in. What's it like to be in those shoes?
In that environment, it adds kind of a very difficult, vulnerable situation for these agents and officers to perform their duties in apprehension. Knowing that these agents and officers, they develop a list of individuals that they want to apprehend. So they're already focused on the operational footprint to safely be able to apprehend those individuals, take them into custody, and then take them to detention or vetting for possible removal or presentation before the immigration courts. When you add in there a circumstance where one, two, three, or multiple individuals, as we have seen in the media play out, where they physically inject themselves into a law enforcement sensitive operation, it adds another unique dynamic to the officer's psyche. They're now having to think through, okay, here's my training and here I'm going to approach this individual. Now my attention is diverted because I have this individual. What are they going to do? What are they up to? And are they going to create a harmful circumstance that I now have to react and respond to and divert my attention? And so that's why when we see all of these so-called brazen individuals who feel that they're empowered to put themselves in between the agents and officers and their target, their intended targets to apprehend, they put themselves, quite frankly, in a very untenable position because those officers are going to have to react in order to clear the field and clear the area. That leads me to the much larger, Andy, a much larger conversation of what I find to be disheartening, having lived through that environment in 2020 when these protesters would descend upon my home and targeted my wife and kids when I was the acting director. Was what is that environment? Who's fomenting that personal belief that has people believing that they can actually, inject themselves into these operations. And I go back, simply put, to the wrongful and horrible rhetoric that is being pushed out there by Democratic elected officials like Jacob Frey, Mayor Pritzker in Illinois, Mayor Wu in Boston, Massachusetts, likening historically since President Trump took office, likening our law enforcement officers to Nazis and fascists. The constant barrage of having conversations and being called that, knowing that we have some, quite frankly, some unhinged people out there who are just looking for a reason or justification to impede lawful enforcement actions makes no sense. And I truly believe that when they constantly denigrate our law enforcement officers, they create an environment where these individuals believe that it is okay.
Yes.
Now, I will liken this. Now, this is ICE, right? And I don't mean to dominate the conversation. I'll let you get a question in.
But oh, no.
I'm passionate
about keep going. You're
supporting
doing great.
These officers.
Yeah.
These folks out there put their lives on the line every day. But let's take for a minute, remove the fact that they carry ICE on their placket or their kit, their vest, their carrier, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could legitimately be local, state law enforcement officers conducting regular operations. In that context, in general, you don't see community members or woke activists descending upon these individuals, right, as they're doing their jobs. So what differentiates, local police doing their DUI checkpoints, as I call it, versus an ICE agent trying to conduct an immigration enforcement operation? It's the rhetoric that these elected officials continually push, the false narrative that these individuals are violating people's rights, which they're not.
Yeah.
And so that's very disheartening. I'm watching 2020 replay itself early on in 2026, and that's horrible.
I really think that 2026 is going to react differently. That's my intuition. I hope I'm right. What took place in 2020. We're speaking with Tony Pham, former acting ICE director and senior fellow at the Homeland Security and Immigration at America First Policy Institute. I think when I'm hearing what you're saying here, you're talking about the humanity of these ICE agents. And I think that we just heard the vice president say this from the press podium there, that he acknowledged the humanity of Rene Good, the protester who was in the vehicle yesterday and was shot by the ICE agent. I mean, those are the facts. She was in a car, an ICE agent shot her, but all the context surrounding that moment really does matter. And the vice president said, maybe she panicked and she swerved or whatever, but the larger context, very much so about what you're talking about here, the rhetoric that leads into that moment, all of that rhetoric matters. It has to matter in those standpoints. And our elected officials in Minneapolis and Minnesota, they seem dead set on trying to throw gasoline on a fire. Why would they want that for their communities that they're supposed to represent and lead?
Just listening to Jacob Frey, I call him the feckless mayor of Minneapolis, right? The guy, the way he talks, the way he sounds, and what he said the other day, I quite frankly believe disqualifies him from holding elected office.
Yes.
To simply get up there. Now, if I were a local Minneapolis police officer and I'm listening to my mayor be up there throwing out the F-bomb to our fellow federal law enforcement officers, right? Partners. That's exactly what we look at from that context, was these are local, state, and federal partners whose mission is the same, that is enforcing the laws of the United States or the state or the locality. And if I'm up there listening to this mayor dropping F-bombs and telling my federal partners who are just basically doing their jobs, but then they're faced with this horrific situation where they have to react quickly, say those things, I would wonder if serving in that capacity for that mayor is the right role for me. And I don't mean to question their dedication to the law, Annie. We've lived through this through the summer of love in 2020. And I will tell you my perspective on any and all law enforcement shootings. I'm an attorney that represented police departments here locally in Virginia, right? So I understand the standard that we approach when we look at these shootings that involve law enforcement. Obviously, I take the position of, we need to temper the rhetoric. We need to calm the environment. This is a tragic situation for the individual who was shot. But, we also believe that it's a tragic situation for the officer that was put in a position where they had to take a life.
Yeah.
I've never met a client who was a police officer who wasn't shook, who was not shook to the core that they had to actually utilize their weapon that they were trained over and over again to use, because you always enter, and the multiple individuals I talk to in our depositions and briefings, I learned that they always, always regret and hate the moment where they have to make that decision. They just want to be able to go home at night to their families, and they want to make sure that folks in the community are safe. So when I look at these situations, there are two tragedies that happen. One is obviously the individual who put herself in a position to protest the operation, but also placing the officer in a position where he had to make a split decision.
Tony Pham speaking with us, former acting ICE director. I want to know what your thoughts are in your capacity as the acting ICE director. Mm-hmm. I tuned in last night, a kid had a basketball game, got home a little bit later, and I thought, gee, I wonder if Minneapolis is on fire right now. Turn on Fox News. They were covering the year anniversary of the Palisades fire. It looked like something that they had probably planned ahead of time, and they were dipping in and out of coverage of Minneapolis as well. CNN. Cameras on the ground, live shots, stand up, mostly peaceful, that type of stuff. What does it mean to you to have those constant cameras, the coverage, the spotlights? Is that harmful? Is it helpful for people to be able to see what's going on? What's your reaction to the way the media covers these types of events?
It could be helpful if there was some integrity in the coverage, right? If it shows the humanity of what these officers go through, what these officers are being asked to do. If legacy media like CNN wants to do a quick 30-second clip and cut to certain video vignettes that fit their narrative, then it's absolutely damaging, right? Absolutely 100% damaging. What I looked at, and it's more anecdotal, Andy, and forgive me for going with anecdotal evidence or basis for have this conversation, is for the last year, we heard and they played it over and over ad nauseum, all of the elected officials on the left who want to vilify these officers, due process, Abrigo Garcia, we're violating their rights, ICE out, sanctuary this. But not once do you see a focus when an officer is assaulted, an ICE agent is harmed or hit or has to confront a group of violent protesters. Not once do we get that human side, that human story. I mean, for crying out loud, 60 Minutes will do a 60-minute vignette on Kamala Harris and her screw-ups, right? Or even Joe Biden and his stuttering. Forgive me for saying that. I'm sorry. I mean, that's in the past. But truth of the matter is there's no focus on the individual men and women who wake up every morning. They leave their families and they took an oath. And I always go back to reminding your listeners everywhere across the United States, we have to remember when I was the director, one of the proudest moments was recognizing that I was leading an organization that was born from the ashes of one of the worst, the worst domestic terrorist attack on U.S. soil. It killed Americans. And from those ashes, the Homeland Security Act formed. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security got folded INS under that umbrella, changed it to ICE. And our mission set was to protect the homeland through enforcement of our immigration laws, because the commission found that the individuals who committed the 9/11 attacks exploited our immigration pathways through the asylum pathways into the United States, right? And so from there, the genesis of the organization yields much respect to the men and women who joined the organization. There were a lot of legacy INS folks who were proud to sign up. You could hear it. Folks were signing up left and right, joined the military after September 11th, right?
Yes, amen.
Because we were unified as Americans. We were unified on a common mission that we were going to protect the homeland and we were going to protect our nation and secure its borders against individuals who wished to gain entry illegally into to this country to cause harm. And it shocks me to listen to Mayor Jacob Fry stand there and exalt and extol the values and virtues of being a sanctuary city, of how many people they were able to let out of prisons and not turn over to ICE. I mean, The last data point I saw, and I believe, was we were able to capture close to 1,000 illegal aliens in the city of Minneapolis. Those are 1,000 individuals who should not have been in this country, who entered without inspection and illegally came to the U.S. and somehow relocated to Minneapolis. These individuals have criminal offenses on their records, and it was an opportunity for us to remove these individuals, right? I remember, if I may, share with you a story about how great ICE is. We were able to catch, in 2020, close to 50 to 60 individuals, some of whom had convictions for sexual assault, child sex predatory behavior. One individual even had, participating in terroristic action convictions. We were preparing for removal, and the illustrious congresswoman that, you know, we all know, I've gotten to know, up there came out on Twitter and called my team racist. For doing what? Again, it's that rhetoric, right?
Yeah.
It's the characterization of men and women who really just want to simply protect this nation by apprehending criminal aliens, but now, because of the rhetoric, they have to then battle each other, battle fellow Americans, when they should be, you know, expecting support in their efforts to protect our communities.
It's so important to understand what these people, these are people who sign up. They're not drafted. They're not, enlisted by their government. They sign up for this opportunity to protect and serve. And, you know, I think to myself, and I always like to look at the reversal of whatever the outcome was and just think, is this how, would we be treating the circumstances the same? And that's my final question to you, Tony Pham. What if that protester would have run over that agent and that agent would have lost his life? Would the elected officials in Minneapolis and Minnesota be advocating for the lost life of the agent, or would they say, would it be about, I shouldn't have been there in the first place? Because when I, in my mind, reverse the circumstances, I don't think that we're going to see that they're going to be consistent on the protection of life and the way they're speaking of the protester here. I think that the reversal of the circumstance, would have affirmed their worldview just as much.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Which is the one we're unfortunately currently in.
My sad belief is because of their ideological beliefs, which they're driven by, their hatred of law enforcement in general, I think it would just be a blip, right? Yeah. It would just be a blip. That life of that officer would not have been mentioned in legacy media as much as this situation is being mentioned now, and no one's asking the relevant question as to who's actually responsible for creating that environment. And it's an unfortunate thing. We've seen situations, and I'll bring up Charlie Kirk's assassination, where those individuals on the left, they would be out there celebrating the loss of life, all driven by their hatred of this president, all driven by their hatred of ICE, who's literally taking, you know, felons off the street and removing them. And I just tell you, folks, I came to this country in 1975 as a refugee at the end of the war. My family and I worked through the immigration pathways and became naturalized citizens. We assimilated in 1985. And I had a true blessing and honor to lead that organization, recognizing that my duty to this country was to enforce the laws. That's the sentiment that is shared by every single man and woman that put on that uniform, that put on their ceramic carriers, donned that placard that says police ICE. They know they're going out there. They're ice skating uphill in certain environments, but they still do it anyway because the mission calls for protecting our country.
Well, and we are so grateful from here, from where we sit, for every single man and woman who chooses to do that, because we do not have order without them. Tony Pham, please come back and talk to us. There's going to be a lot to discuss, and we appreciate your voice on the show.
At any time. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Former acting ICE director, senior fellow, Homeland Security and Immigration at the America First Policy Institute. A very quick break here at 1:30. Congressman Darren LaHood on the Annie Frye Show. We'll be right back. Rescue you. You're like romantic.